But I think that with Tammy Faye, the people involved were, they were, there was a guy who wrote it, a guy called Elton John, who was kind of quite high profile. I think he knew what he was doing.
Hello and welcome to In the Frame. I'm your host and West End Frame editor, Andrew Tomlins, and we have an extra helping of the podcast today with Steve John Shepherd, who is playing Draco in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child at the Palace Theatre. Steve recently appeared in Tammy Faye at the Almeida Theatre and Much Ado About Nothing at Shakespeare's Globe. Just a few of his other theatre credits include Describe the Night at the Hampstead Theatre, Plastic at the Theatre Royal Bath, Bomber's Moon at the Park Theatre and Trafalgar Studios, and Piaf at the Donmar Warehouse and in the West End. Steve has also worked extensively on screen across film and television and is particularly well known for his time playing Michael Moon in EastEnders for the BBC. We recently spoke all about Steve's experience of joining Cursed Child and what it's like to be doing his first ever takeover. We also reminisced about Tammy Faye, EastEnders and other bits along the way. Here is the interview. Steve John Shepherd, you're in the frame.
I am indeed, and I'm delighted to be in the frame, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Thank you so much for being here. What's the mode? What's the brain saying today? What's the gear? How are you feeling? Paint the picture.
I'm feeling like a Thursday, which is when the theatre is dark and just before we're going into the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, six shows. So, yeah, feeling good, feeling positive.
It's interesting. It's a really different sort of performance schedule that you have with these shows. Normally in the West End, you have your one-off day, but then you have your one-show days, but you're kind of, you have these marathon days of double shows, which are, of course, different parts. How do you kind of, have you got used to that schedule? Are you in the flow of it, or is it still a shock to the system?
No. I think I'm sort of used to it. Yeah, it's an interesting format, but it's nice to play from a sort of actor's point of view because you're doing the whole story in its entirety, and so it's not like doing a matinee in the evening, obviously, because there are two different shows completely. So you get that sort of nice continuity, which is fun because you get to sort of finish at the end and hopefully the work that you've done in part one hopefully pays off in part two by the end.
Absolutely. When Harry Potter was, you know, when the books were coming out, when the films were in the cinemas, did it have a presence in your life? Were you on that train?
Are you referring to the Hogwarts Express, that train?
Absolutely. How aware of it were you?
No, I wasn't. I didn't really engage with it when it first came out. I mean, I was aware of it as a sort of growing phenomenon, but it sort of passed me by, really. So I was quite late to the party. Yeah.
And so then when this came up, what did you think?
Yeah, when this came up, it was just really super exciting to be considered. I mean, first and foremost, to be just considered for something like this is always very nice because there are lots of us out here. And then to, you know, to sort of move along the casting was also really exciting. And then to finally get it was, you know, kind of, yeah, absolutely wonderful.
And I guess interesting to come at it from quite a fresh perspective. I'm sure some of your fellow cast members, for example, were in that process, having lived and breathed Harry Potter their whole life for some of them, and know those characters and have an idea of those characters, but you were able to kind of look at it more fresh on the page?
Yeah, I'm not saying maybe not fresh. I mean, I could look with, maybe fresh is the word. Just I didn't know that much about the lore or the sort of, the, you know, the progression of the narrative. So it was interesting to just come at it and see it, yeah, first off, for the first time, as opposed to sort of my sort of confreres. They know it sort of inside out. Their lore is extremely impressive, whereas mine is not so great, but I'm working on it.
And had you ever done like a takeover like this before, joining an existing show taking over?
No, never. No.
And
it's the first time.
What's it like to kind of go into something that's living and breathing and functioning and has history and existing peoples? It's a completely different challenge, right?
It's very, very interesting. Yeah, it's been a great experience so far. I was very aware of the sort of huge shoes I was stepping into to playing Draco, because lots of people have a very clear idea of, you know, how they see Draco in their minds, or, and he'd been sort of long established on the stage. So to come in was daunting. It was daunting. But there has to come a point where you just have to think, well, this is my interpretation. And also the sort of privilege of being given custodianship, if you will, of Draco for however long that is, because he'll go on long after I'm gone. And, you know, he was there long before I came. So to be given the opportunity to take care of him, if you will, is something I sort of take seriously and are very grateful for. Because I do enjoy playing him very much, and I do enjoy his foibles and his difficulties and his darkness and his light. He's a lovely character to play.
Well, I think he's an interesting character, right? Because everyone, so a large percentage of your audience will go in there with a preconception. It's such a weird thing, isn't it, for an audience to come into a theatre and to know the character so well, but not this specific story. So they come in with a preconception, but they're also able to be surprised because of where the story kind of takes you. It must have been great to kind of explore that and get to grips with that. But is it kind of daunting? Are you able to shut out the big wide world with the preconceptions, or does that kind of play on your mind as well?
No, I very early on just decided that I would just try and sort of find my own way through it and try not to be influenced by other people's perceptions of how Draco is, or, you know, how he moves or how he speaks. Or so it was. Yeah, I was, you know, quite adamant that I just wanted to honour him as much as I could, and to be, you know, influenced by millions of different opinions. You know, you'd have to choose one over the other. So I tried to stay away from that, yeah.
Mm. And I mean, the piece as a whole, it's so unique. What the creative team did originally was great. I think there's people who are maybe wondering how on earth Harry Potter was going to work on stage, but it embraces theatricality as a piece. Were you kind of, what was it like getting to grips with? And I mean, there's movement and there's music and underscoring and there's so many different elements, right, that the whole thing kind of comes together beautifully. It's like big, kind of a big machine that you're a part of.
Yeah, you are a cog in this huge narrative. And it is, when you, it's easy to forget when you're standing on stage doing it. It's easy to forget, you know, when you're in the moment and you're playing the scene, it's quite easy to forget just the scale, you know, the scale of the house, the scale of the stage. Just it's quite operatic almost. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And sometimes, you know, in between scenes, if I wander into the green room and there's a big monitor in there so people can see what's going on, you do look at it and you do think, goodness me, it's beautifully lit. It's beautifully scored. It's brilliantly directed. It's very clever. The backstage crew are very clever. The magic is, you know, it's wonderfully done. And when you're in the middle of that, sometimes you lose sight of that. But yeah, it's quite a sumptuous feast, as I'm sure you'll agree.
I can imagine you must feel that energy from the audience. Like, what are those crowds like?
Well, they're consistently brilliant. I mean, that's just very apparent every single performance. They are just consistently with you, and responsive, and playing those really big theatres. I mean, I think it's 1,400 odd people. Sometimes that stuff can feel a bit, sometimes the stuff you do can maybe feel as if it's not lost, but kind of, you know, those really small moments, they feel like they may have gone, they've gone. But with Potter, it's everything seems to stick. And the sound design is so extraordinary that, you're really in good hands. So yeah, it's great to have that dance with the audience, particularly for Draco, because his journey is slightly more difficult, shall we say, than than some other characters. He has a lot to grapple with, and there's some he's got some self-loathing to do before he gets to the end of the play.
I wish people could see the kind of the gleaming joy that kind of came onto your face as you said that. I feel like you are perfectly cast, Steve, as Draco.
Oh, that's very
I feel
kind.
like it's spot on casting.
Oh, that's kind. Well, that's Julia Horan. That's not me.
But then on top of that, though, like it just must be weird that they have everyone in their seat watching you. They already know this character. So there's almost like some work that's been done, but then it's a different job because you're showing us a different version of this character and you layers this character at a different time in this character's life. It's such a unique kind of thing that you're doing. So somehow, what I'm saying is, on one side, the work's almost done for you, but on the other hand, there's a different sort of work to do, which as an actor is quite different, I guess, as some other jobs that you may have done.
Ever wondered what it takes to make it in the movie business? Peel back the curtain with 4-6 Success Filmmaking. 4-6 Success Filmmaking is where filmmakers share their stories and the secrets.
It's beyond competitive out there.
There have been movies that it's taken me 10 years to get made.
Don't wait to create. Like, you've got to just keep making stuff.
Tune in to 4-6 Success Filmmaking for your dose of cinematic realness, direct from the voices that have lived it.
Yeah, it's very different, very exciting, because you're playing someone who's sort of 20 years since anyone's seen him, really, in terms of sort of narrative. So it's what's happened to him in those 20 years. What kind of stuff has he been doing? What's his journey been like? Has it been affected? Has it affected the way he speaks, how he walks, how he picks up a cup, how he enters a room? What kind of status does he have? I mean, how is he trying to maintain any kind of Malfoy legacy? I mean, what's going on in his mind? So these things are, important to try and pin down. It's done brilliantly, and when the show relays on and you can hear the audience coming in, you can sense the excitement even across the show relay. You can sense that people are here and they really want to be there, and they really are interested to see what sort of transpires. That's and that's and you can definitely feel that sort of. That kind of fever at the very beginning, and my first entrance, when Draco first enters, when they first see Draco, it's, oh, okay, right, okay, so this is what big Draco looks like. This is what grown up Draco looks like now. Oh, he's old. Oh, right, he's really old.
Not really old.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
And then you have this fabulous costume as well, right?
Beautiful costume, incredible. I hate to say it, but yeah, wig. It's not actually my own hair. But yeah. I mean, everything's there. Everything's there. The support is just, it's just everything you need is there. It's a great way, because so often there are things that maybe are not quite right, but on this, everything is absolutely right. The support that you get from everybody in terms of, the way you're looked after, one is very fortunate to be there. One is very fortunate to play him. I really do mean that. I'm very fond of him already. I'm very fond of playing him already, because he's a delight to play. And purely selfish consideration, personal to me, he really is a sort of delight to play. And to enter and to toggle with those moments of lightness and dark with the audience, of which there aren't many, but when it, if I can get that right, it's wonderful, because you can really feel the audience maybe think, okay, oh, it's all right. He's not as bad as we think. Oh, there is some sort of light in the darkness, perhaps. But he has to go through, you know, various trials before he gets there, which is why the beauty of the two-part lends itself so well to this kind of this long-reaching arc, because I'm not sure you could do it in any shorter time without it seeming rushed.
What I love about kind of your career is that, you know, you've gone off and you've done other stuff on film and on screen and done tons of things, but you've always come back to theatre, right? Theatre's always been there and you've been able to do incredible things. I mean, this is a big commercial job, but I remember seeing Bomber's Moon at Trafalgar Studios too, right? Like a really intimate space. I've been doing this for 12 years, Steve.
Oh, goodness me.
I saw that 2015, I think.
Yeah.
Is that true? Has that been an active thing? Have you always wanted to come back to theatre?
I'm not sure it's a sort of come back idea. It's more of a sort of, it's what you do, you know. And if, I mean, I went to drama school and it was purely sort of theatrical. I mean, I don't know what the stuff they I think it's much more, they help people with TV and camera work much more now. But when I was at drama school, theatre was the only thing that you were sort of preparing yourself for. The idea of going into TV and film, it seemed so sort of remote because it seemed like such a sort of faraway country. So I've always done theatre and I love theatre. It's because it's the only time really that you get to sort of dance with the audience. You know, television and film are, you know, they're great in their own rights, but the dance is just with the camera, really. And that's a very different kind of discipline. Hugely different to this. I mean, just playing Draco in the palace and doing something on, you know, on film is like two completely different sports, just in terms of size, in terms of approach, in terms of longevity, of continuity of playing it. I mean, a take can maximum be sort of a minute long sometimes. And that's probably the longest you'll go for. But with this, you know, you're going for, you know, 6 hours.
Also, there are plenty of people who ditch theatre along the way for different reasons, the money or the, you know, the lifestyle. It's not for everybody, but I love seeing it when people are coming back, but not just doing, you know, like you've done all different things, all different venues, and it's really interesting most recently with Tammy Faye going and doing a brand new musical at the Almeida, which obviously everyone was loving and was sold out and fighting for tickets for. It's such a different thing to then doing Harry Potter. Could it be more different, two more different jobs if you tried? Tell me about some of that Tammy Faye experience and being part of a brand new original musical, which was the big thing in London at that time.
Well, it was just a nice, a really nice in for me, who'd sort of done very, very, very sort of sketchy musical theatre at drama school and hadn't really gone near it in sort of, you know, quite a few years, and certainly never done it professionally. So to actually do it was massively surprising that they actually let me sing on a stage. But that was gratifying, and it was good to work with. The people that they had on it was just the best of everybody. I mean, again, it was just like brilliant, brilliant, like Michael directing and Katie playing Tammy and Andrew Rannells, who was just superb. He's a superb actor and singer. So it was enormous fun, but also it's just nice to be around people like that. You know, I mean, Katie could literally just. It was just so apparent that she could just do it. You know, there was just no doubt. She was just astonishing, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. Did you see it?
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Of course. I was very lucky
was just
to.
Astonishing, wasn't she? Just absolutely.
Astonishing. Incredible. But it's also, I think, so exciting when you get to see a show like that in its early days, in such an intimate space when there's so much hype and so much excitement. But I also always think, you know, for you on the inside, you probably, you can't get too excited about that, right? You can't be like, oh, with this hit hot show in town and it's going places, because you just have to do your job and focus on what's happening on stage 8 times a week, right? Rather than having this, you know, energy flow through you and get carried away with it.
Yeah, the energy is a great thing. I mean, it's great to have a buzzing house. I mean, that's one of the perks of the job. But yeah, it's, but by the time you've come to do it for 8 shows a week, you've been rehearsing it for 2.5 months. So it's, it's in your bones. So it's not sort of a surprise to suddenly be out there and you're doing it for the first time. It's you have been sort of rehearsing it for a long time.
People always say to me when we're doing these sorts of podcasts that how they're like, oh, I just want to do new work and I would love to do an original musical. And I always just think it sounds exhausting, like that process of the thing not being finished and it being tweaked and changed, and you've got to remember the new number that has just been put in and that choreography that's just changed and that scene that's been cut. And I'm always like, why do you want to do it so badly?
Well, I think that with Tammy Faye, the people involved were, there was a guy who wrote it, a guy called Elton John. He was kind of quite high profile. I think he knew what he was doing. So the songs are pretty much on lock from day one.
Good.
And Jake Shears, of course, who's also, you know, wonderfully clever and a very cool guy. So it was just, yeah, it's nice to sort of bask in their reflected glory, really, just for a while. It was a great thing to do and a lovely job, yeah.
How have you found kind of going through your career when you kind of have those different moments where suddenly you do a certain job and it's thrown into the spotlight and you have that moment where suddenly the nation, everyone knows you, everyone sees you as one character and they kind of almost forget about, they don't know what about the other work that you've done and what's come before. Moments like obviously with EastEnders when suddenly everyone sees you as his character, but you were like, well, I've been working in theatre for years and years and years. I'm not just this newcomer suddenly. But that's what suddenly people know you of. It's a big kind of shift. It's a lot to deal with, right?
It was quite intense, just in terms of just quite how many people watch it and just quite how many people sort of tell you they watch it when you leave your house. You know, it was quite interesting. Yeah, very interesting. But, you know, again, it was a really interesting, cool experience, cool to work with multiple cameras, cool to work at that speed. And this idea that working on a continuing drama is easy or it's not true. They are some of the most professional and hardest working people ever, because that stuff's not easy to do. And it's not easy to do in the volume that you're required to do it. You know, sometimes you'll be shooting 20, 30 pages a day, 35 pages a day, which is just extraordinary. You know, and these guys, they do it for, you know, months on end. If they're in this kind of, if they're locked in a really big storyline, they'll just be working, doing 30 pages a day for months. And that requires really, really super strong technique, which I think gets lost sometimes, but they really are sort of virtuosic, really.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I guess you almost come back to theatre afterwards and it's like it's a break, be able to have your days free and have a structure and to know where you're at. It's a very different pace and a very different rhythm to pull back into.
Very different sort of performance sort of pitch as well. Because with the palace, you've got people who are very, very far away from you, up top there. And, you know, you have to try and connect with them as well as the people who are, you know, in the front row. So it's trying to find that balance, which is, it's fun to sort of experiment with.
A different beast. But for now, you are very much at the palace.
Yeah.
People can come and down and see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Listen, thank you so much for speaking to me on your day off, it should be noted. Good luck with the rest of your run there. And thank you
so much.
Thank you for taking time to speak to me today.
It was a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for your time, Andrew. Cheers.
You can see Steve in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which is booking at the Palace Theatre through to March 2025. Thank you to Steve for taking time to record this episode on one of his days off. If you're enjoying this season of In the Frame, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate and review wherever you're listening. And whilst you're there, check out our other podcast, The West End Frame Show, for your weekly stagey catch-up. You can follow West End Frame on Instagram and TikTok, and I'll be back next week with another incredible guest. But until then, thank you for listening.